a lot has been made of the state's poor ranking relative to other states in terms of public health money. But yet again, I read a report that was done under the auspices of the Pew Charitable Trusts that ranks Kansas in the top tier of states in terms of preparedness for an epidemic like this. So yes. Reconcile those things for me.
Well, first off, the public health funding from the state general fund has to go to many, many different kinds of things, everything from child care licensing to smoking cessation to lead levels in children. So it gets pulled 100 or more different directions. And some of that, by the way, is preparedness. And we do have a lot of our preparedness money comes from, fortunately, sources other than the state, because if it was left to the state general funds, we would not be as prepared as we are now.
I think, but one of the issues is we get less from the federal government than a lot of other states.
Well, right? We do, because we're a small state. You know, we're, 1% of the population of the United States. Mm-hmm. That's why it's encouraging to see what's coming out of the federal government with what's being talked about, $8.3 billion. Now, a lot of that will be going to vaccine research and other kinds of things. But we have some assurances that we could get some millions of dollars come from federal sources to help augment it. Because right now, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Mm-hmm. And it is so typical in public health funding. You take Ebola money and move it over to Zika. You take Zika money and move it over. But it's the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. This one is going to require more money.
Talk to me a little bit about what else that money might be spent for when what you're trying to do is deal with a respiratory illness.
What you're really getting at is, what does the future look like? Are we going to have enough intensive care rooms? Are we going to have enough infection control rooms? Are we going to have enough ventilators? Are we going to have enough staff to run the ventilators? And this could go on for a very long time. We have to be mindful of the fact we don't wear people out. You know, mm-hmm. And I've been in situations where on about 72 hours of 12-hour shifts or 18-hour shifts, you need to have back off and take some time off.
This is a new virus. We don't know what the future looks like relative to whether this is going to be around, like the flu virus, going to be cyclical, going to have a number of cases every year. And so what you're talking about then, and being prepared for that eventuality, is having equipment and staff and being able to ramp up quickly to deal with something like this. And in the current economic environment, particularly healthcare, with rural hospitals struggling and everything else, that seems like a fairly difficult proposition.
Yeah, it will be, and we've modeled it actually. We've taken this as a like we did with H1N1, certainly like we did with Ebola. We look at it and say, what are the total case counts? What's the case count number? What's the high end?
How bad could it get?
Yeah, how bad could it get? And what's the confidence interval? How high could it be, or most likely, or optimistically?
So kind of a range, small, medium, and range large. Of possibilities, right.
And we do that for the total case count, for the severity, for the number that require critical care, the number that require ventilators, and the number that are going to die.
And then you match that up on what the resources are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what does that show you now in terms of cancer?
Well, I've earned my gray hair, and it's over these kind of analyses, because if we had the worst case scenario, which we say we prep for, we do not have enough intensive care beds for the worst case scenario.
Well, let me ask you this. When I was reading about what constitutes preparedness, I mean, there are these issues of staffing, certainly. Workforce is a big issue. You don't want people coming to work sick, and people who are living paycheck to paycheck might be inclined to go to work even if they are sick.
And you think about maybe people on the poorer end of our economic spectrum, mm-hmm. they're the least resilient to being able to stay home when they're sick. I think we do have to look at it. What is the things we can do from a human resources perspective to mitigate that? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't farm and ranch from your living room, but businesses that have any number of people, I think they should really start testing it to see if they have the capability and the capacity to do that.